Good evening, everybody. Welcome to worship here on the eve of Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to have you all joining here together as we look forward to a day off, a day with family and friends, an opportunity to relax, but also an opportunity for us to give thanks. And what better place for us to be than in the presence of our God, to whom all thanks and praise is due. And so as we begin our worship, let's join together in words of worship from Psalm 95. I'll ask you to respond responsively for our call to worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving.
And extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it.
And his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Amen. Let's rise together to sing.
Thank you.
Well, as we consider coming together for a Thanksgiving service, it's always an interesting thing to recall that this isn't a holiday that's on the calendars for people in any other country at this point in time than the U.S. It's not something that Christians have had on their calendars for thousands of years. This is a holiday in particular, this late November holiday. It's one that is American. We are brought together as Americans in these times of Thanksgiving and as Christians in this time of worship to God. And so I think it's interesting that even though as Christians we know that as much as we appreciate being citizens of a certain country or what we love about our country, that our first loyalty is to our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet I do think that we fulfill what Jesus calls us to when he says to love your neighbor as yourself. When we're called upon by people in government or people around us to pray for and to thank our God on behalf of what we experience in this country. And so I always think it's kind of interesting to go back and to look at how this time of Thanksgiving is proclaimed and requested. Since every single year, it's the requirement of the president to put out this proclamation to suggest, to tell the citizens that it's a good thing to take a time to give thanks and to remember what it is that we've received. So every once in a while I peruse around, and for this time, the year 1908 was significant to me because as I was thinking about the building and the new roof project, I was going back and doing some history, and I know that this church was founded in 1908. So I just said, well, what was the Thanksgiving Proclamation on 1908? And it turns out the president that year was President Theodore Roosevelt, and I read the proclamation that he had to call people to Thanksgiving for that year in 1908, and I thought there was some good things in here. So I'm going to read a portion of that as our call to come and give thanks. He wrote back then, this first year when our church was being founded, "Once again, the season is at hand when, according to the ancient custom of our people, it is the duty of the president to appoint a day of prayer and thanksgiving to God. With a nation, as with individuals who make up a nation, material well-being is an indispensable foundation. But that foundation avails nothing by itself. That life is wasted, and worse than wasted, which is spent in piling, heap upon heap, those things which minister merely to the pleasure of the body and to the power that rests on wealth. Upon material well-being as a foundation must be raised the structure of the lofty life of the spirit. If this nation is properly to fulfill its great mission and to accomplish all that we so ardently hope and desire, the things of the body are good, the things of the intellect better, the best of all are the things of the soul. For in the nation, as in the individual, in the long run, it is character that counts. Let us therefore, as a people, set our faces resolutely against evil, and with broad charity, with kindliness and goodwill toward all men, but with unflinching determination to smite down wrong, strive with all the strength that is given us for righteousness in public and in private life. I recommend that the people shall cease from their daily work and in their homes or in their churches meet devoutly to thank the Almighty for the great and many blessings they have received in the past, and pray that they may be given the strength so to order their lives as to deserve a continuation of these blessings in the future." Again, knowing that we are called upon by our neighbors, perhaps even by those who are in positions of power, to give thanks and to pray to God on behalf of our country, we as Christians respond in love and seizing an opportunity to give thanks and praise and worship to our God. So again, let's join together in singing. You can stay seated for this song, but we'll sing together in thanksgiving. Let us praise him. For our scripture tonight, we are hearing a story from the life of Jacob, one of the many favorite stories I have from the book of Genesis. But this story in particular is one that, even though there's so much about this experience that Jacob has that I can honestly confess I don't even come close to, there is one element of Jacob's story that I think captures something that I believe many of us have experience, and I want that to be the lead-in for our own exercise of gratitude that we're going to do here in just a few minutes. And so I'm just going to begin with this story from Jacob. If you know the story of the life of Jacob, right from the very beginning, he was someone who always was looking for an advantage, looking for an edge, especially over his brother Esau. And after finally one too many tricks, one too many advantages pulled on Esau, Jacob finds himself running for his life because Esau has threatened to kill him. And so he's left his family, his town. He has left running into the wilderness, place he's never been before, headed to a town that he's not quite familiar with. He's left everything behind because of his own bad choices. Yet he finds that he's not alone. And so this is our scripture for tonight from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. This is God's word for his people. So one of the things I really like about this story of Jacob is, as I said, it captures an experience that I know that I have had, and I think perhaps many of you have had, and that is that while I think there are some people who have that gift from God, that the presence of God and the presence of the Spirit just seems to be something that flows through their day, that they can feel that prompting or they feel God moving in things. I think for many of us, if we're honest, we have this experience of going, I just don't sense in that palpable way God moving in my life in a minute by minute, hour by hour basis. Sometimes I think it's just if I don't have the right kind of personality or if I'm too thinky, I think it away. But I think for many of us, we find that if we have a difficult time sensing that God is moving right in the here and now, that for many of us, we have to fall back on looking back into our lives. That at least for me, one of the things that I have found most helpful in understanding that God is truly working present in my life is when I have to go look back in an experience, and in a way, I feel like I say what Jacob says. God was in that, even though I wasn't aware of it. I'm sure many of you have had experiences like that, that only in looking backward have you come to the realization, wait, God was here, but I wasn't aware of it. Sometimes that's a reflection of God's patience with us. Maybe we think I should have seen it as God was working through this person or through this circumstance. Or maybe it's just one of those things that we see God's blessing, God taking circumstances that we could never have expected to work out the way they did. And yet we look maybe months, years later and going, man, I'm so grateful that God knew what he was doing there, even if I didn't. But the other thing that I want to highlight for tonight, especially on the eve of Thanksgiving, is that in addition to that being a cool experience for us to look back and to realize that maybe God was more present than I thought he was, is that the time that we take to give thanks is really, for us as Christians, an exercise of building faith. You know, I think for most of us, we all know that from our littlest kids, the process, the habit of saying thank you is a good one. It's healthy for us to be grateful and recognize other people's contribution in our lives. But I think one of the things that maybe we don't always acknowledge or recognize as Christians is that when we give thanks, if we truly have an opportunity to reflect on that thanks, it also gives us an opportunity to see the pattern of God's faithfulness in our lives. That if there are things that I give thanks for, if there are things that I've seen God be faithful for in the past, that helps shape my outlook when I look at the present, when I look at the future. That if God, like Jacob, shows up here, then maybe God really will be with us wherever it is that we go. And so, the more I think about it, the more I realize that this time of giving thanks, it's more than just a nice habit. It's more than just something that sort of draws us together in a good sentimental holiday. But it is a process of building our faith. To say, if I can see what God did back there, then I'm all the more equipped to believe, to trust, that even if I don't see what he's doing now, even if I don't see where the future is going to go, that if the God who is faithful then is the God who is faithful now and on into the future. And so for tonight, what I want to do is I want to walk you through a little exercise that I got to do along with a couple other of the pastors here in town back in February. As most of you know, you were here. Chris Polash was in town a week ago, and he's been moving around, updating people on the mission work that they're doing in France. And he's also been doing that through giving a couple of workshops of helping people think through their faith in a couple of interesting ways. And this was something that he did back in February, and it's something that he developed as a way of just having conversations with people. And he said it really sparked some interesting things for things that he got to talk with people both in the U.S. and in France, but also just for him personally, and as he shared it, I think for us as well, it was an interesting exercise in going a little bit beyond just saying thank you to God, to really discerning where God's presence is in the things that we're grateful for. And so, basically what I want to do tonight is I just want to walk you through four questions that have to do with gratitude, with things that we're thankful for in our lives, but take an extra step of saying, not only are we grateful, but perhaps this is one of the ways in which we're aware that God is more present, more at work in our lives than perhaps we expect. And so, this is not something you're going to share with anybody else. I would hope that maybe it's something that sparks some conversation as you're driving home or when you're getting together with people for Thanksgiving. It's not something you have to proclaim around here, but I hope for you that this will be helpful. And so I'm just going to walk you through each one of these four questions, and I'm just going to give some silent time for you to think about it. You don't have to come up with something immediately. I don't think any of these are going to be too terribly difficult, but be as honest as you want to be as you walk through this. So you can number your pages 1 through 4. Give yourself a little bit of space to write down something under each one of these. And then I'm going to start you off with this first question. And that is, imagine you meet someone and they don't really know you, but you're going to tell them the story of your life. And this is probably something maybe more than just 2 minutes, not give them the brief version. But if you were going to, you know, really walk them through what's been the arc of your life, if you imagine doing that, what is one person or event or thing that if you were telling someone the story of your life that you know you'd have to include? Obviously, there's probably multiple of them, but you can just choose one. If you had to tell someone the story of your life, what is one person, one thing, one event, one of those things, what's just one thing that you would choose? You can take a little time to think about that, write it down. That's where we'll start. I figure most of you have probably selected something or someone by now. And to start with this, probably for most of you, what you wrote down is something that you're, or someone that you're thankful for, something that you might say going around the Thanksgiving table, that this is someone or something you appreciate. But I'm going to press you one step further now. So the second question is this: for whatever it is you chose, a person, a thing, an event, in 2 or 3 words, just choose 2 or 3 words. How would you describe that person? I want to take that a step from saying I'm thankful to what are you thankful about for that person? So just 2 or 3 words. They don't have to be related to each other. Describe that person, that thing, that event. Now for the third question, I want to push it again a little bit deeper. And I think this is where we begin to see more than just, I'm thankful for this, more than just it's been a blessing or something fun in my life, but to say maybe God is up to something through this thing or this person or this event. And so for the third question I have in one sentence, you can do two if you need to, but in just very briefly, what role does or did this person or thing or event have in your life? What role did they play or did it play for you? Then now moving to the fourth question. What's at least one good thing that you have in your life right now because of this person or thing or event? This pushes us now to realize perhaps the movement of God, to know that there are so many things in our lives that we didn't just set that up just so. We didn't chart the path to this place, but instead that God has very often subtly moved things and events and people into our lives to do what only He knew needed to be done. And so as your final reflection, what is just at least one good thing that you have in your life right now because of whatever it is you started with there? Like I said, this is mostly an exercise for you all. I would suggest if you're here with someone or here with a group of people that it should be all right for you in the car ride or back at home to say, well, what'd you write down? What are some of your thoughts? Because my hope is that even though for each one of these questions shouldn't have been too necessarily difficult, hard to answer, I believe that so often it's not normal for us to slow down and to walk through our thanks, to consider how God has used these things or people in our lives. And so even though these are fairly simple questions, my hope is that through things like this, through a process of slowing down and giving thanks, that we're not simply rejoicing in the goodness and the blessings that we have, but that it builds our faith to remind us that there is a power at work in us that we are very often not aware, that many times, like Jacob, we too can all of a sudden realize the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. And so I hope that just this little time of quiet reflection might be the beginning of a fresh awareness, or maybe it's the beginning of a conversation, perhaps something that someone you know well, perhaps you never knew exactly how God used a thing or a person in their life. So I hope that this is something that spills over. If any of you are interested, it's something that I found for myself doing again and again can be helpful because, like I say, you can pick all kinds of things. I'll just review those questions one more time. So if anyone wants to flip your paper over and write them down, if there's something that you want to think about, I think these are helpful. So the first, again, is if you got one person, event, thing that you couldn't tell your life story without, what would you choose? The second is, if you got two or three words, how would you describe that thing or person? And then third, in one sentence, what role does that or did that person or thing have in your life? And then finally, what is at least one good thing that you have today? Because of whoever or whatever it is you wrote down. As we think about all the unique ways in which God works his blessing into our lives, the ways in which God is still forming us and surprising us with his goodness as he draws us closer to himself, let's first join together in prayer, and then we're going to lift up again song to our God. Heavenly Father, We follow you by faith. Lord, for every one of us, we struggle in some way with the fact that we do not see you, that we do not hear your voice. And yet, Lord, as you so often do with your people, people like Jacob, people like Moses, people like your son, Jesus, you draw them into quiet places. Lord, you open up our minds to the realization that there are so many things in our lives, in our experiences, Lord, that we cannot fully account for. Lord, I thank you for the times that you have made us aware, like Jacob, even as we're looking into our past, Lord, that you were there, even if we weren't aware of it. Lord, for tonight, for every person, for every thing, for every event, Lord, that was brought to people's mind by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that for each one of them there is a milestone, like that stone that Jacob raised, that reminds us that we do not walk through this life alone. Lord, that we are not navigating these things by ourselves, but Lord, the God who has been faithful, the God who is faithful in creating us, the God who is faithful in our past, Lord, you are faithful today and forever. Lord, I give you thanks and praise for every single person or thing that was written down on these papers. And Lord, I pray for any thoughts or conversation that this stirs. Lord, may it ultimately come to your praise and your glory. Lord, we pray that this prepares our hearts tomorrow for a time of thanksgiving. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond now with the hymn, Lord of All Good. We can stay seated as we sing. Well, as we've sung, I'm going to invite you now to bring whatever gifts. I know some of you already did, but I want to end the service by doing as Jacob did in responding to the goodness of the Lord. Jacob says at the very end, "As you have been good to me, I will give you a tenth of all that I have." And as part of our Thanksgiving service in this church for many, many years, it has been a time of offering, a time of supporting missions and ministry, and a way of responding to God's goodness. So I want to end our service there in the back around the offering box and representations of all the missions and ministries that we're supporting. So I'll ask you to join me back there. And if you have a gift to bring, print it, put it there in the offering box. Spread out here and spread out down there. So I'm going to offer a Thanksgiving prayer, and I ask for you all to join in. So anytime in the prayer I say, "We say," your response is simply, "Thank you, God." Let's pray together. God, Heavenly Father, giver of all that is good, we give you thanks and praise for your good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for things seen and unseen, the splendors of your creation, we say, thank you, God. For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships shared from birth until our dying, we say, thank you, God. For work to do and the strength to work, for the comradeship of labor, for exchanges of good humor and encouragement, we say, thank you, God. For family, for living together and eating together, for family amusements and family pleasures, we say, thank you, God. For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies, we say, thank you, God. For the young, for their high hopes, for their dedication to learning, exploring, and growing, for their fresh perspective, we say, thank you, God. For growing up and growing older, for wisdom deepened by experience, for rest and leisure, for time made precious by its passing, we say, thank you, God. For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger, we say, thank you, God. For the church into which we have been called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in the Lord, we say, thank you, God. For your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prays in us and prompts our grateful worship, we say, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again for our salvation, for our hope in him, for the joy of serving him, we say, thank you, God. Lord, as a sign of our gratitude for your overflowing grace, we raise here to you this offering and ask for your blessing on every ministry and mission, on every brother and sister you have called to serve, and on every person that you have sent them to. Merciful God of might, we pray that not only through them, but through us as well, you might renew this weary world, heal the hurts of your children. Lord, we especially pray for those who govern our nation and those around this world. Lord, for those in countries racked by strife and warfare, for all those who are striving for peace, and Lord, for the Church of Jesus Christ, to their calling in witness in every land. Lord, bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, our living Lord. Amen. Our closing song is on the back of your bulletin. Let's sing together. We praise you, O God. Friends, as you go from this place, as you go and travel with friends and family, as we give thanks tomorrow, may you know the blessing of our Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.